Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down, my blood sugar is down, my weight's down, my health is up, my sleeping patterns are better, my metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Hello, America, and happy Thursday, a busy news day around the world. The United States Supreme Court, the 9 justices, heard arguments today from Donald Trump's lawyers on whether a president enjoys complete immunity from any official acts that he takes as a president. This, of course, could have a profound effect on everything from his classified documents case to the January 6th prosecutions. The justices seemed skeptical of an absolute immunity, but did seem to be open to the idea that there is a more limited immunity that could be established, and was really trying to struggle and to understand what is an official act. Is it a speech at the mall, which is what happened on January 6th? Is it the taking which documents he brought with him from the White House? These are really significant questions and ones that could really change the course of history, particularly the 4 criminal cases that President Trump currently finds himself facing in Georgia, New York, Florida, and Washington, D.C. Florida and Washington, D.C. federal cases, New York and Georgia local law cases. Meanwhile, last night, more than 12.5 of Trump's former advisors, many of them lawyers, Boris Epstein and Jenna Ellis, the former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, indicted on Arizona for allegedly trying to concoct a alternate elector scheme. That's a pretty big case. We're going to watch for that. That is about the 4th or 5th January 6th criminal prosecution indictment that has come down across this country. Again, 4 years later, pretty late in the process. A lot of people questioning the timing of this, but undeniably some very important news that is playing out there today. I've got a fun story, and I think this is a very important story. It's done by my good colleague, Stephen Richards. He and I team up a lot of journalism. One of the things that we're looking at is Columbia University funding a lot of the student groups that currently are holding it basically hostage, occupying it. So these pro-Palestinian groups, about 120 of them, a lot of them get funding from Columbia University. And I think that that's a really important. At least 36 of the groups that are in this coalition at Columbia University are listed as recognized student groups. And that means that they're eligible for direct funding from Columbia through allocations of the student activity fee, right? So that is a pretty significant thing to think about. Just think about the idea that Columbia is actually funding its own occupation, its own strife right now. We need to get a little bit better detail, but it's the first effort by anyone to put together and look at how many of these groups are actually funded by the university. Really good story by my good colleague, Stephen Richards. Now, we're going to take this issue on in greater detail with Nicholas Giordano as one of my favorite podcasts, but also I think one of the most important voices when it comes to free speech on campus and also hostile environments on campus. He calls it like he sees it. He understands it. He's on a university campus himself. So he is right in the thick of these very important ecosystems where this is playing out. Now, at the top of the show, we're going to turn to Fred Flights, former chief of staff for the National Security Council under President Trump. Before that, a significant longtime CIA analyst, one of the most trusted voices in national security. So much to talk about across the world, from Gaza and Israel, Russia and Ukraine. One of the things that I think a lot of people are looking at in the last 24 hours, Haiti, what's going on there. The prime minister stepped down today. We're going to survey the world and where we stand with it with Fred Flights in just a few minutes. One other story, because we do a good job keeping an eye at just the news on all of the election integrity issues. A good story by Natalia Mittelstadt this morning. The headline is GOP Secretaries of State Legislators Fight Against Biden Bucks and the Federalization of Get Out the Vote Efforts. As you know, Joe Biden issued this executive order telling every federal agency, go get people registered to vote. And there is a significant pushback against that, particularly in Republican states where the state legislators and the secretaries of state are resisting this effort. I think this could become a really significant clash in the fall. And so a really good story there. Take a look at it. The amount of money that Biden's putting into this, the use of the federal government to do get out the vote efforts, essentially. These are really important and big developments. And I think that at the end of the day, this is going to be something that will end up in the courts. Can the Justice Department and the administration use federal tax dollars for this? Can they impose themselves on states? These are all very important questions. And Natalia Mittelstadt does a great job wrapping them up in an important story today. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break in a second here, and then we'll start off things with our good friend Fred Flights. Now, before we do that, we have many incredible partners here at Just the News. One of them, Genesis Gold Group. They are an extraordinary player in the gold and precious metal space, and they have a way for you to hedge your bets in the economy. New bad economic news again today. GDP down below where we thought it would be, so economic growth slowing, inflation still being stubbornly high. That puts a lot of our investments, particularly our retirement investments, at risk. I think a lot of people have pepsit. They don't feel good about where they're sitting in the marketplace, particularly with precious retirement 401k IRA dollars. Well, my good friends at Genesis Gold Group can help you allocate a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover. Not going to cost you anything. You can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Now find out how to do this and safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide, something I've done. It's a good idea. Call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD, 800-200-GOLD. If you don't want to spell out GOLD, it's 800-200-4653, 800-200-4653. Or you can also visit Genesis Gold Group at genesisgoldgroup.com. Either way, you're going to get in the door. Go do that today. A very exciting opportunity. The warning signs in the marketplace are large. Jamie Dimon today very clearly stating that he doubts that there'll be a soft landing to this economic crisis that the Biden administration created with large government spending, inflationary spending. If Jamie Dimon's saying that, if the economic indicators are saying that, don't put your eggs in all in one basket. Diversify. Get some gold and silver into your retirement portfolios by going today and calling 800-200-GOLD, 800-200-4653, or visit genesisgoldgroup.com. All right, we'll be back with Fred Flights right after these messages. Folks, let's face it. As you get older, after a night with drinks, you don't bounce back the next day like you used to. Thanks to ZBiotics, you don't have to make the choice of having a great night or a great day. ZBiotics pre-alcohol prebiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink alcohol, it gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not the dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this product down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and of course, you're going to feel your best tomorrow. So go to ZBiotics.com/justnews to get 15% off your first order when you use the Just News promo code at checkout. Once again, ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they're going to refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/justnews and use that promo code justnews at checkout for 15% off your order. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and also for letting us have a good time.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks, welcome back for the commercial break. I've talked a lot in the last few weeks about how much the world feels like it's coming unglued. There's a sense of chaos, a sense of insanity, a sense of violence, a sense of insecurity. It starts on our own shores, but it covers nearly every single continent now because American leadership has waned, and in the vacuum, all that chaos has begun to fill our enemies, bad actors, terrorists, all taking advantage of it. I wanted to bring on one of my favorite voices in the security realm. He's the vice chair of the America First Policy Institute Center for American Security. He's the former chief of staff to the National Security Council, one of the best CIA analysts the CIA ever produced. He's really one of our greatest security treasures in this country, my good friend, Fred Flights. Fred, great to have you on the show.
Hey, John, good to be here.
Just a few hours ago, another reminder of what happens when foreign policy has no strategic objectives. We got kicked out of Niger earlier in the week, Vladimir Putin playing in the African continent. Today, the Pentagon called me and said, hey, we're sounding the retreat. We're pulling out of Chad, two very important outposts where we watch Islamic extremism and terrorism. And now we can't even in the continent of Africa keep an eye on our security. How big a failure is this?
I think it's a significant failure. China and Russia are aggressively striking trade and security relationships with countries across the African continent, and they don't care about human rights or corruption. They just want access to the minerals, and the Russians want to sell weapons. And these countries are really outplaying us. And at the same time, radical Islam is sweeping across a band of Central Africa. And, we are now losing bases that were being used for observation and for drones that will prevent us from helping, assisting friendly countries from combating these terrorists. It's a significant loss for security in the region.
Yeah, that surveillance and reconnaissance. It started with Afghanistan, right? We mess up the withdrawal from Afghanistan. We go blind in one of the terrorists' favorite backyards. Now all of these lost outposts in Africa. In addition to not being able to support our allies, I hear a lot more CIA and DIA officials telling us we actually are flying blind on the people that might be trying to strike us here as well. We don't have as much visibility. That's a real outcome here too, right? We were less secure at home because of these lost outposts.
I think that's right. And it's worth emphasizing one reason why we're losing these connections, in that we lecture these nations on human rights. We lecture them on DEI and providing rights to gay people. And for a lot of these African countries, they're just not interested in that. And if that's what our diplomats are stressing, these countries kick them out. So I'm not saying these things shouldn't be important to the United States, but if we use our diplomatic approaches to these foreign governments and lecture them on this politically correct nonsense instead of security relationships to save lives, we're wasting tax dollars who are paying these diplomats.
Yeah, no, you're right. It really is. It's an enormous loss. And one of the agitators on the African continent, clearly Russia, China also, I think, in embarrassing us in these moments. But on our own fight, we now just throw another $60 billion plus to Ukraine for a war machine that is at best running in place and in some cases losing the map. It seems to me that the time for a negotiated settlement should have begun, and yet there is not a single person in this administration even capable of having a conversation with Russia right now, it seems. Are they pursuing the wrong track here, a long-term military engagement with no strategy to win it?
So $60 billion was voted for Ukraine, and 111 Republicans voted against it. Most Republicans did not vote for the bill, and there's real concerns that there's no plan by this administration to end the war. They don't know how this money is being spent. There's concerns about corruption. But nevertheless, John, I supported this bill. and I supported it because I don't think there's any alternatives. And what I want to see happen is I wanted this bill to pass to get Ukraine through 2024 so Donald Trump can solve the war, end the war when he enters office. Biden's incapable of doing this. He doesn't understand the need to end it. He just wants to throw money and weapons at it. It's the best of many bad options. But I believe that, actually, I believe that President Trump and Speaker Johnson, they talked about this, and I think that's where Trump is. You know, this is not a great solution, but given that the Democrats and Biden is incapable of solving this, it might have been the only way to go.
Yeah, basically buy time to hold the line and then get a real negotiated settlement with a president that can actually negotiate, because this president can't even have conversations. He's reading the script lines and saying, oh, I'm supposed to pause it, and he reads it out loud. I mean, I don't know if you're Vladimir Putin, you're probably laughing at that, thinking, I'm not going to talk to this guy. He's checked out. There is a lot of other agitation going on, and I think a lot of people look at these college campus protests right now and they say, oh my God, this is the result of 20 years of neglect and silliness and insanity, DEI, and all these crazy things. But in talking to some folks in the intelligence community, they see in the midst of this some foreign intelligence operations going on these campuses. Is that something we should be looking at? And is it something the intelligence community probably is already investigating, that China and others are agitating in these protests?
Well, there's obviously some organization going on. If you see the sea of identical tents that these students, where do they suddenly get them? Wouldn't surprise me if there are Islamist groups, maybe Russia or China, possibly Iran. There's a very good op-ed in today's Wall Street Journal saying that the Soros Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation are funding these things. So I think that's important to pursue.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be a major focus. Follow the money, and I think that's where we're going to learn a lot. The war in Gaza, Israel has made clear that no matter what the United States says, it's going to act in its own national interest first, even with enormous pressure. And Israel's, you know, trying to have a good conversation with the United States, but it's not going to be deterred. If Iran strikes it, it's going to strike back. How important is it for Netanyahu to hold the line on security and not bend to some of the political pressures he's facing right now?
Netanyahu is not going to bend to Joe Biden. He's not going to change his national security strategy to help Joe Biden get elected. He's listening to the United States because that's what the Israeli people want. They want good U.S.-Israel relations. But at the end of the day, he will do what he has to do, and he will order an invasion of the Rafah area to knock out the remaining Hamas battalions. Biden will complain about it again. He'll say he's going to cut off Israeli aid. He's not going to. There's not Democratic and Republican support for that. Biden, everything he says on Gaza and Israel is related to getting him elected, and these massive protests and resistance from Democrats and progressives. And Netanyahu knows that, and he's just going to do what he has to do to defend Israel.
Yeah, no, it's the determination, and also you can see in the Israeli strategy when they've had mistakes, they've made, as war often results, there are bad moments in war, but they always seem to be able to define the Israeli objective and why they're carrying out the war, why they're pursuing a policy. And I look at that and I sometimes say, well, sometimes it's very hard to understand what is the American objective in a lot of the policy pronouncements we have. Tony Blinken as the quarterback, Jake Sullivan, it seems like oftentimes their exercises are academic and theoretical when the world is calling for clarity and reality in foreign policy. Why is the American interest unable to be defined in a lot of these policy decisions right now? There's never an objective to the American purpose.
Well, it's interesting you say that about Sullivan and Blinken. I think even Biden realizes they're not serious foreign policy thinkers. That's why he put Bill Burns in the cabinet, the CIA director, and he sends them whenever there's something important to discuss with foreign leaders. Biden sometimes gets something right. I don't think Burns has been able to pull this off. But the problem is we have a foreign policy that's completely irrational. The number one priority for U.S. national security under Biden is climate change. The Chinese love that. We can send an endless number of officials to talk to them about stop burning coal and climate change. The Chinese aren't going to do it. But if we're going to waste our time talking about that rather than Taiwan and the South China Sea, they're all for it. And, you know, we've had so many irrational statements by this president and signs of weakness. Remember when he said before Russia invaded Ukraine that maybe we might tolerate a partial incursion. I mean, Putin was about to send the troops in. So, I mean, there's been so many instances of this. There's just no American deterrence under this president. That's why we see all these problems rising. And, you know, this Israeli strike in Iran last week was brilliant. And it was an effort by Israel to establish Israeli deterrence against Iran and to send a message. You fire more missiles at us, we'll take out your nuclear sites, we'll destroy your oil industry.
Yeah. Yeah, and it had a real effect. It got Iran's attention. There's not much doubt about it. You could tell from the fallout from it. It had the effect of deterrence when because it was so devastating. I want to turn to one thing. I'm a big fan of your Twitter feed. I check it often to try to be a smart reporter and learn things. There was some interesting conversations going on in the aftermath of J. Michael Waller's book, and there was something you reposted from him about needing to reorganize the FBI along functional lines. And I think it's one of the things I'm hearing more and more of. Even people who are longtime advocates of the FBI sort of feel like it's lost its way, or it's become too behemoth, or just too unguided. I know you take all of these intelligence agencies very seriously. You have a great respect for the work they do. The FBI kind of feels like it's in need of some sort of redesign. Is that a fair statement about some of the security experts are beginning to think?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Mike Waller. His book is called Big Intel, We're Old Friends. I'm sure you've discussed it with him at length. And, you know, the FBI, I have a number of friends in the FBI, and they said the biggest problem is that headquarters is no longer filled with people who were agents. It's full of bureaucrats, people who came out of college. They become professional swamp creature bureaucrats, and they're pursuing politics. And these people have to be let go. The bureaucracy has to be significantly slimmed down. Put people in charge who operate in the field, who will do the law enforcement duties that the FBI is supposed to be doing. Get the FBI out of foreign embassies. I mean, the FBI can do a significant job to promote American security and fight crime. But we know what they've been doing over the past 8 years. They've been engaging in politics, and Waller makes a very strong case on how we can reverse this.
Yeah, no, his book is an absolute must read. We got a whole hour show coming up with him in the next couple of weeks. I'm really excited about that. But these are the sort of opportunities. And I know at AFPI, all the work you and Brooke and others have been doing, you're really building not only an agenda, but really a tasking sheet so that if President Trump's elected in January or in November, he takes over in January, you're going to hit the ground running. There are lots and lots of ideas that are ready for execution, right?
We're looking at what needs to be done to help a new president take control of government. We're not taking resumes. We're not running a job bank, but we're looking at the government. We're looking at what needs to be done away with, what type of bureaucracies have to be set up, what kind of executive orders should President Trump sign on day one to make us energy independent again, to protect our southern border, to counter lawfare. There's all kinds of things that could be done. This administration has done a lot of damage, and it's very deep, and we're looking on how to reverse that.
Yeah, no, that is the key, and it's so widespread now that it's a magnanimous attack. It's a huge task. There's no doubt about it. A last question for you. We're still trying to figure out some of the dynamics at the border. We know the border's open. That's not in doubt. But is there any further intelligence, any further thinking about why these Chinese military-age men have gotten into the country in such large numbers and what their intent may be long-term and short-term?
Look, China sees an opportunity. And yeah, an awful lot of the gotaways, I think, are Chinese and Russians and Iranians. ISIS members, Al-Qaeda members, they're the ones who don't want to be caught. I think a lot of these people who are being caught, they volunteer to be caught because they know their court date is years in the future, and then they'll get benefits. I'm very worried about how Chinese intelligence is penetrating the southern border, that terrorist cells by ISIS and Al-Qaeda are being established, making use of the southern border. Gangs from Central and South America are penetrating the border. And we know Biden has the power right now to stop this. He didn't. I wish Congress had passed border security legislation. It's outrageous that it didn't. But on the other hand, Biden has more than enough executive authority to stop this. and he just refuses to do so.
Yeah, the best proof is Donald Trump used those same executive powers, and he did close the border. Anybody had one of the most secure borders, the power's there. It's just not being utilized because it's not in the interest of this administration to do so. It's really remarkable. Fred, it is always an honor to have you on. We get a lot of smart wisdom and a lot of red circles on the map that we need to be watching. I always appreciate when you come on. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, my friend. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. In a second, we're going to talk to Nicholas Giordano, one of the most important and sage voices when it comes to the insanity that we see so often on our college campuses. Now, before we do that, you know I've been spending a lot of time the last couple of years eating healthier, finding ways to make it easy and simple for me to eat healthier so I can get healthier, bring my blood sugar down, bring my cholesterol down, bring my weight down, bring my energy up, my metabolism up. One of the problems I have is that sometimes I don't have time to cook a healthy meal. Go to the store, clean up the vegetables, pick the right ingredients, cook it up, have it put in a box so I can warm it up in the morning. Well, my good friends at Factor Meals solve that problem for me. They have fresh, never frozen meals that are chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You pop it in the microwave. It's not even frozen. You put it in the refrigerator, pop it in the microwave, 2 minutes, it's cooked. It tastes great. It is super healthy because it's dietitian approved. You start losing weight. You start feeling better. This is one of my little secret recipes that I do. And by the way, there are so many options. Every week when you go to Factor Meals, you can see there are at least 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, a lot of good ones. Now, for our listeners here at Just the News and John Solomon Reports, Factor is giving you a 50% off offer on your first month, plus 20% on your next month. That's a really good deal. Head to factormeals.com/Solomon50, S-O-L-O-M-O-N 50, and use the promo code JustNews50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's the code JustNews50 at factormeals.com/JustNews50. Go check it out today. Simple, easy, fast, delicious, and healthy. Those are five great wins for you. All right, one more time. Go to factormeals.com/JustNews50 and use the promo code Solomon50. All right, we'll be back in a second with my good friend, Nick Giordano, one of the great podcasters, one of the great academics in the world. We're going to talk about all the insanity on college campuses right after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we are witnessing some of the ugliest moments that have ever played out on an American college campuses, and it's gone from LA to New York now. It's the culmination of 20 years of our young students from the point they start K through 12 all the way through college, having their minds poisoned against America, against Israel, against the values of this great country. And now they're out there chanting hateful slogans, intimidating students from getting an education, wishing death and rape upon Jewish students. It is perhaps one of the darkest moments the American education system has ever seen. I thought to put this in perspective and also to call out those who may be behind all this, I'd bring in one of my favorite guests. He is the host of one of my favorite podcasts, the PAS Report. If you don't listen to it, subscribe to it. It's incredible. He's a campus reform higher education fellow, and I think one of the smartest people when it comes to the state of our academic system, my good friend, Nicholas Giordano. Nicholas, good to have you back on.
Always a pleasure to be with you, John.
I've been looking for words to describe what we're seeing play out on the most elite campuses in this country. The only word that comes to mind to me is insanity, but I'm not sure that even captures it. Your thoughts on the moment we're witnessing?
It's really interesting. This is a poison that's been injected into the education system for at least the last two decades, and we are now witnessing the results of this, where we're seeing these extremists rise up on college campuses. And at Campus Forum, we actually have a rolling list of anti-Israel occupation settlements on college campuses that are replicating Columbia University settlements. And these can't be called protests. I know the media is trying to frame it as if these are anti-war protests. They are not protests, okay? I'm someone that does support protests. I encourage people to speak up, use their God-given rights. But the second you infringe on other people's liberties, the second you try and infringe on their ability to move around campus or cross a bridge or go to an airport, the second that you try and shut down people's right to attend in-person classes, or you threaten, harass, and even assault other people, the protest has ended. These are radical extremists that are going around chanting and praising Hamas, chanting death to America. They want to see October 7th 10,000 more times. We've seen through the TikTok videos the younger generation having a sympathetic view of Osama bin Laden, and that shows how the education system has poisoned the minds of so many young people that are going to one day lead this nation that they despise so much. Now, I never thought I would live through an event where I would see Americans on college campuses screaming death to America, but here we are. And then you have the spineless administrators that have allowed this problem to fester for the last several months, and now it has metastasized. And rather than expel the students that are involved, suspend those, and if they're found guilty of any type of crimes, expel them, they're negotiating with them. So it's not about the rights and the well-being of the students on campus. Instead, they're capitulating to the demands of the mob, and that never ends well.
No, it doesn't. You're exactly right. It's such a dark moment. I've met so many students who are afraid to even walk across the street to go to a class or get a coffee. That shouldn't be what our academic institutions create.
Well, could you imagine spending $86,000 a year and now you have to go back to Zoom learning? I mean, that should not happen. Every one of these students should sue the college to get their $86,000 back from Columbia University, because they signed up for in-person courses. They didn't sign up for remote courses. And rather than take the side of the students that just want to go to class and take their finals, instead, they're letting these radicals do whatever they want on the college campuses.
Yeah, no, it's really, it's remarkable. I wanted to zero in on something you just said, because I want to call out some of these media organizations, the Associated Press, where I worked for 23 years. They keep downplaying these things as anti-war protests. First off, as you said, they're not even protests. They're intimidation and hate events. But in addition to that, the protesters really aren't talking just about a ceasefire. They're talking about October 7th times 10. They're talking about Intifada. They're talking about eradicating Israel from the land it's on. Is the media doing a great disservice to the public by trying to pretend these are anti-war protesters when the protesters are calling for something far more extreme?
Absolutely. And by them downplaying it, that they're basically endorsing it, that they're encouraging it, and they shouldn't be. They should be calling it out. They have a responsibility as journalists to report the facts and to report what's going on at these events. And again, we look at it, we're seeing pamphlets being handed out that the only way Palestine becomes free is to destroy America, the death of America. And that should be reported. I mean, that would have been a headline 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we wouldn't be witnessing this, but 20 years ago, that would have been a headline of the AP. Today, they're trying to provide cover to these organizations, and the question is why? We shouldn't be sympathetic to what we're seeing. Again, students have a right to protest, and they have a right to exercise their free speech. But once it crosses a line and impedes other people, it's a violation. And when you have this many young people involved, we also have a lot of people coming to these campuses where we don't know if they're students, okay? Outside agitators coming on these campuses. And it would be nice if the media actually did some real journalism to look into, well, who's coming on these campuses? Who's organizing these events? I mean, let's be honest. College kids are supposed to be broke, yet we're seeing these very expensive, high-quality printed signs that looked like they were all ready to go. We're seeing all these tents.
Yeah. The same tent, too, by the way. Yeah, they got them somewhere on a bar, bulk buy, I think.
Well, you're talking about campuses that are like thousands of miles apart, that and all these students have the same tents in their little Occupy movements. So this is being organized. It's well-coordinated. It's funded. And the question is, who's doing it?
Yeah, that's a really great point. One thing we did do yesterday, and I think it's important for people to understand this. So at Columbia University, students are charged a student activity fee. It's like about $700 per semester. So when you run up 10,000 students, a big amount of money. That money then goes and funds groups that are sanctioned by the university. They can get official funding from the university. 38 of the groups, I believe, is at least three dozen. Maybe I think it was 38, but three dozen of the groups that are part of this occupation at Columbia University are sanctioned student activity groups, meaning they're probably getting money from the university. The university is essentially funding its own occupation. I bet your parents would love to have that money back.
Oh, well, not only that, let's take it one step further. These universities, even though they are private universities, they receive an enormous amount of grant funding from the federal government as well. Our tax dollars also help fund these private universities. So our tax dollars are being used against us to fund student groups that are chanting death to America. And now at Campus Reform, we just put out a new report how Hamas has actually released a statement in support of the college campus occupations that are occurring throughout the United States. Did you ever imagine that we'd be in this position?
No. No, it's numbing. It's numbing, except that it's been playing out in front of us for two decades. I think about, you know, many times I've been on in interviews with world leaders the last year, and they'll ask me this question. They turn the tables on me. When did America start funding students so that they become anti-American? I mean, what sort of country funds its students to hate their own country? They've seen it for a long time. I think Americans are just waking up to what's really been, about 20, 25-year cycle. China and Qatar and others probably help fostering it with some of the money they're putting into the education system too, right?
Yes. One-third of most of these elite institutions receive funding from foreign governments. I mean, they have billions of dollars in endowments from countries like China, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates. And I think that this is something that actually does need to be investigated. I mean, when you look at China, China has one of the most sophisticated espionage operations in the world. And I wrote a report several months ago talking about how Chinese intelligence agents have infiltrated college campuses. So we need to really look at whether or not there's foreign entities that are instigating these protests, that are helping fund these protests. And it would behoove these institutions that their administrators work with law enforcement and Congress to find out. And I do call on Congress to open up investigations, not just into the administration's lack of action in shutting these things down, but to find out what's really behind this push. These are not spontaneous protests that just erupted. Again, these are organized, well-coordinated, well-funded. And I think that there is a potential that espionage has taken a place. Listen, it's not a secret that Communist China views us in a very weakened state right now. They understand the divisions that are going on in the United States. And so why not exploit those divisions? Why not exploit the instability within the United States to make the situation worse? And the fact that college administrators can't come out and just unequivocally condemn terrorist activities is disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's feckless, and it does is encourage more of this bad behavior. There are some ideas floating around Congress. One of them is for any school that has a trust of $5 billion or more, that it would be barred from federal funding without making a specific case for the use of the funds. It seems to me that there's going to be a pause in the political establishment to start to think about, have we gotten this wrong? Have we funded something that now is not educatory, but actually destructive to American society? Do you think there's enough will in Congress to begin to change some of these funding streams?
You know, you never know what Congress, it depends on how much it begins to hurt the election of politicians. And if we see that it's hurting Republicans or Democrats, then they'll be much quicker to act. But if it's not politically, then they're probably going to sit on their hands. One of the things that I would like to see happen, so a lot of foreign students attend these universities, and some of them are great students. At the same time, they should look at, Well, if we have foreign students protesting and engaging in extremist activity, chanting death to America on college campuses, a logical society would immediately revoke those visas and deport those individuals. I think that's something that needs to happen immediately, and I don't think it would take an act of Congress to do that. I think the Department of Homeland Security, through Immigration and Customs Enforcement, should be taking a look at this very closely to see how many foreign students are participating in these events, any foreign students are engaging in any type of assault or harassment, and you take care of that problem. I think that's a big issue going on. I also think that, again, when it comes to the college administrators, they need to grow a spine. We are seeing faculty, which is an embarrassment to my profession, engaged in these activities, and tenure does not give you free license to commit crimes. So if there's any professors that are threatening or harassing, assaulting other students, those professors should be suspended immediately, and if they're convicted, they should be terminated and lose their jobs. That's something that the colleges can do themselves. They don't require an act of Congress, and they could also suspend the students engaged in these. Now, Columbia did suspend 12 out of 16 students, and then the very next day they took away the suspension of 12 of them. So I don't have too much faith in the spineless jellyfish that exist.
Yeah, no, it's a real moment of fecklessness, and I think that's what the students are banking on. Hold out, we'll get exactly what we want, because we always do. And I think that that's the problem. No one's drawn a line and held that line for a long time in these campuses. Last question for you. It seems to me that some of these students, particularly the Jewish students who have been threatened, harassed, assaulted, kept from being able to exercise their right to have an education, that there could be a civil rights lawsuit, a class action lawsuit against not only the universities, but maybe the funders of these organizations that have created this climate of blocking education. Is that something we should be watching for, some sort of novel lawsuit as well?
Absolutely. Be prepared. You're going to see civil lawsuits. You're going to see complaints go to the Department of Education to start investigating the civil rights violations at these college campuses. And there may be some even class action lawsuits against these universities. When you begin to hit the pocketbook, that's when these colleges and universities will respond. And the donor class seems to be fed up with these universities. A lot of people like Robert Kraft at the New England Patriots has announced he's cutting off funding. So these universities are in trouble at a time when there was already mounting pressure on them simply because of the enrollment demographics here in the United States as we become an aging society. I think that this event, while as horrific as what we're witnessing on college campuses, it may be the biggest eye-opener of the reforms that are necessary to begin to fix the education system and stop the poison that's been injected into so many young minds.
Yeah, and from the embers, maybe something good will come, but it sure is painful watching this being burnt down. It's just not what we do in America, and yet it's playing out in front of us. Nick, we love having you on. For folks who want to get more of you every day, because I'm a huge fan of your podcast, what's the best way to get the PAS Report?
Everyone could go to PASReport.com. From there, you go to any podcast platform, and they could also visit campusreform.org to check out the latest reporting.
Yeah, you do such great work. You are a treasure to this country and a voice of reason in a sea of insanity on college campuses. Nick Estradonnell, great to have you on today. Thanks for joining us.
Always appreciate it. Thanks, John.
Thanks, buddy. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. A big thank you to Fred Flights and to Nicholas Giordano for their great insights on all the turbulence in the world, all the turbulence on our college campuses. I want to thank two of our great partners, Factor Meals, of course, always doing great stuff, Genesis Gold. You can diversify your retirement into gold and silver by calling 800-200-GOLD, 800-200-4653. That's the gold offer. And Factor Meals, if you go to factormeals.com/justnews50, then use the promo code Solomon50. So you got to use both of those, the URL in it. You're going to get 50% off your first month of Factor Meals. That's a great deal. All right, folks, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. Until then, God bless you and have a great night.